It's the Musical Theater Book Club. Let's talk about a show. Welcome to Musical Theater Book Club, where we talk about our favorite musicals, our least favorite musicals, and everything in between. I'm Berkeley.
I'm Sarah.
And today we're doing something a little different. We say it's going to be a mini, but like, it may be longer than the episode we just recorded. So I think we should probably find a different name for mini and just do like, I don't know. We'll think. But we're talking about Smash this week.
Yeah. So disclaimer right now, if you have not seen Smash, you're not going to want, unless you don't care, you're not going to want to listen to this, because we're definitely going to go into like details about all of it. And I don't want to give spoilers. But before that, if you have not seen it, it is on NBC.com. If you go on right as of right now, I don't know if they'll take it off at some point, but as of recording, it is on there. So if you're like, oh, I want to listen to this episode because this is my favorite podcast, but I haven't watched the show yet. It's two seasons. It's a quick flyby and then come back.
Yeah, honestly, it goes by really fast. I would say if you like theater and musicals, it's pretty engaging.
On with the show.
And on with the show. So the show, essentially, it features these fictionalized characters from the New York theater community and the creation of a musical about Marilyn Monroe. It follows the whole creation process, rehearsal process up and leading up to Broadway and beyond, which is really
And cool. You watched this when it was on, right?
Yes, I watched it when it was first a thing, yeah.
Right. And then we both just rewatched it. I didn't watch it when it was on. I remember hearing about it, but it was on 2013. So this was about when I transferred from the junior college I went to the regular college I went to. So, you know, I was a very busy college student, commuting and working. I just didn't watch TV at the time. So, I mean, I definitely had heard about it and was like, oh, that sounds cool. But I was excited when I heard NBC had it because I was like, oh, I can finally see what everything's about.
Yeah. So how did you like it overall?
Oh, her face. So you have to remember this was in 2013, 2014 when it came out. I think, I'm not saying to redo it, but I think if this show had come out sometime in the last couple of years as like a Netflix or Hulu, any streaming site, like one season show, or even like they could have still done it two seasons and just made it like concise 10 episode, two season show or something. I think it could have done really, really well. I think the problem is like season one was very solid and then season two, because it is a very musical theater heavy show. It's not like Glee or Crazy Ex-Girlfriend where there's like songs, but it's not musical theater related. There's the music, there's the songs, and it's like literally all about theater. So I feel like they were trying really hard to keep like the interest of the public. And there was just so much stuff that I was like, this is so fucking stupid. Like, I'm not saying I hated it. Like, don't get me wrong. I liked it. I definitely recommend it, especially if you like theater. I'm like, I'm glad I watched it. And there is so many great people in it, which we'll talk about in a moment. But I think it definitely would have been better. And I obviously, in hindsight, they didn't know in 2013 that like streaming sites and all of that was going to happen and take off. But I think it would have been done better as like a, you know, one or two season, 20 episode Netflix show than what it was.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think it's very common to do with TV shows that are on main networks. They often like will just throw a bunch of stuff in there. And I'm like, why? We don't need all this stuff. Like, there's so many plot points that I'm like, did I need this? Did I need or they have a lot of moments where they'll bring up a plot point and it'll like either never resolve or they'll just randomly bring it up in season two. And I'm like, I forgot Angelica Houston had a daughter. What? That's the big one for me.
Especially in the second half of season two. Like, I don't know at what point they knew they were canceled. And this is just one of my issues in general with TV. I fucking hate when TV does this, where they know that their show is not coming back. And they don't, I feel like they did pretty good about resolving it. It's not as bad as some I've seen where I'm like, what the hell? But there was just a lot of like, all like loose ends that they just didn't finish, and like it felt like everything was rushed like the second half of the second season. They were like, oh, we got to do this and this and this, and I'm like, what is happening?
Especially the final episode. I hate to say this, but the final episode really felt sort of like a cop-out, honestly.
I felt personally victimized by that.
And the final episode, basically you've seen everything up until the Tony Awards. So the final episode is the Tony Awards. We find out who wins the Tony, all that kind of stuff. One big important thing, the big plot point for the whole season is who is Marilyn. That's kind of like the whole thing. And we have this rivalry built around
Ivy and Karen.
I can only think of their actual names. I'm really bad with character names, so I will probably use actual names this whole time.
Oh yeah, I had to pull up the International Movie Database thing just so I could remember, because some of them I can only remember their character's name, and some of them I can only remember the real actor.
Yes. I don't want to talk about who we think is the best Marilyn yet. I feel like that should close everything out. I want to talk about that last, so we'll get there in a second. But that's sort of what this whole show is built around, the rivalry between those two and opening this show. And even once Karen has left Bombshell, I still feel like the rivalry is still there. And I'm like, why is this still a thing?
Yeah, like at one point I thought they were going to like switch it and be like, oh, now they're going to be friends. And like there was like half a second where that seemed like it was genuinely going to happen. And then it was like, oh, no, JK, we have to have them hating each other at all times.
Yep. That moment where Karen has finally like really sort of washed her hands of Bombshell, and they like have these nice, sweet moments, and you're like, oh, yes, they are nice people. And then all of a sudden the Tonys come back and you're like, what the fuck? I hate them. Like when Ivy has that moment when. Or, well, I guess Karen had that moment first when she said something to a reporter and they, like, took her out of context. And then Ivy said something about Kyle dying being Hitlist's big thing. Oh, gosh. I was like, great, we're going back. It's almost like they were like, okay, we're ending the season. We need to bring this rivalry back.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of it also surrounded Derek. It's just so annoying. It's just so frustrating. You're just watching it, and I'm just like, why are these things happening? Why is any of this happening? So before we go into the actual characters, I don't want to list all of the people who are in it because that's going to take forever, but it does have so many musical theater people. And there was like, I knew the main people already. Like I already knew Christian Borle was in it. And I knew, I don't remember other people who are also in musical theater were in it, but they even had like small, like one or two, like a handful, like Bernadette Peters. Like I didn't know she was in it, and she's in like, you know, probably like a handful of episodes. She plays Ivy's mom.
Sean Hayes, isn't it too?
Yeah,
People know him from Will and Grace, but he also has done theater.
Yeah, so they have a ton of theater people. So again, it's just I think that's really cool in general. Like, obviously there has been crossover before of theater and actors, like that's not new, but just to have so many of them in one spot. Because the only other show, not that I'm sure there's others out there, but like the only other show that I can think of that has more than one popular theater person that's also in a show was Private Practice, that had Audra McDonald and he was married to Idina Menzel.
Jesse L. Martin. No, that's not
Tay Diggs. Tay Diggs had both of them in it. So it's just cool seeing so many musical theater people in one show.
So we're starting with Sarah's absolute favorite, Julia Houston, played by Deborah Messing. Okay, first of all, I love Deborah Messing. Deborah Messing, you gays.
just to clarify, 90% of, like, most of this is just really based off their characters. I'm just going to say now, most of these characters really fucking sucked by the end of this show.
Okay,
so this has nothing to do with the actors that played them. Like, most of them, we love these people, but oh my god, they must have, like, pissed off the writers. Because I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes, we absolutely love these people, and I will say that a lot of their performances were really good.
Yeah, they did really good at making me want to fucking punch them in the face. So,
so on that note, Julia Houston.
So I liked her, like, the first few episodes. She just, like, her entire character arc was, like, doing something really fucked up and then constantly apologizing. Like, her whole thing in season one was, like, she had had an affair in the past, and then she had an affair again. Which really bummed me out, because at the very beginning, like, her and her husband are trying to adopt, and, like, her son is a teenager, but, like, they all love each other. He wasn't, like, the annoying, like, angsty teenager like we usually see in TV shows. And then when you find out that she's, like, banging Michael Swift, you're like, why? Like, oh. And so that was her whole arc in season one, is her constantly apologizing, and I made a mistake, and blah, blah, blah. And then season two comes around, and it's the same fucking arc. She had screwed over what's-his-face character from Rent and Law and Order. I can't think of his real name or his show name.
That one's Jesse L. Martin.
Thank you. And then, like, it was the same thing. Something had happened in the past, and so it was her constantly apologizing, and I'm like, oh my god. Like, and then her and Christian Borle get in a fight about something, and again, she's like, how many times do I have to apologize? And I'm like, don't get me wrong, people make mistakes, everyone makes mistakes, but, like, girl, This is over, what, like a year, year and a half, 2 years, and all your entire character arc is apologizing. Please stop.
So what bugged me about her, she didn't bug me in the first season. Second season, she drove me insane, because what bugged me is when she started messing with Christian Borle's character. And I was like, okay, come on. And I mean, don't get me wrong, what she did with everything else was not good. But then the other thing that really bugged me, speaking of in her plot line, is that in season two, they bring her husband back in. Just randomly, and I'm like, I forgot Brian D'Arcy James was in this show. And I don't know, it just, that one bugged me. But yeah, no, I feel like through season one, I liked her, but season two, I was like, okay, sorry, Deborah Messing, you're done.
Yeah, especially because they're supposed to have been friends and writing partners for like years and years. And I'm not saying that people don't have fallouts and they don't have fallouts, you know, years later, but it just felt like some of the stuff she was doing, I was like, I can't imagine being friends with someone for a million years and like throwing my friendship and writing partnership away for something that's stupid.
Agreed. So since we're on them, let's go to Tom Lovett, played by Christian Borle, everyone's favorite.
He made it almost to the end with me loving him. So
Oh, what did he do?
Okay, so it's such a minor one-off thing, and I know it's not a big deal. Like, I mean, it is, but it's not in comparison to everything else. I mostly, like, 98% love Tom. I mean, guys, as you've already heard me talk about how much I love Sutton Foster, I also love Christian Borle. So I think it's, I can't remember if it's the last episode or the second to last episode. There's someone that's on the Tony voting committee that it's up in the air whether he's gay or straight. Christian Borle's character, Tom, is gay. And at one point, he, like, goes to, like, say goodbye to him and kisses him. And he's like, I'm actually straight. And I'm like, can we just stop with that, like, whole ploy of forcing ourselves onto others? And maybe that's just me being too, like, 2020, like, aware.
Come on.
Yeah. But I'm like, come on. Like, I just hate that trope in general. And I'm like, ugh. Like, yeah. It's not as bad as some of these other people's stupid things they do. But I'm just like, can we not? Can we just not have that be TV shows anymore?
Honestly, I think Christian Borle is probably, well, okay, there's like one other person that I would rank up here with him, but his character is like the only character that I actually like consistently throughout the whole show.
Yeah, Christian Borle was great. Tom's enjoyable. I wasn't rolling my eyes or screaming at his character when he was on, so.
So I think since we've talked about them, we should probably move on to Derek Wills, played by Jack Davenport.
I can't even be mad at his character because nobody ever held him accountable until like the very end for like a second. And even then, he still kind of like got away with everything.
Yeah.
So I almost don't even hate his character. I just hate how everyone interacted with him and was just like, let him do what his thing is. And I almost try to think of like what the equivalent of him is supposed to be is because like he's such an asshole. But like everyone's still like, oh, but we have to have Derek and Derek's great. And it's okay that he, you know, kind of sexually harassed these girls because, like, he's a really good choreographer. And I'm like, I mean, I guess that's a good plot point to have. But, like, he still gets Ivy at the end. So everything worked out great. Like,
yeah. I have to give it up to him for his Tony speech when he won. He, like, goes up and is like, everyone's, like, in the theater hates him. And he gives, like, a 2-second speech. And it's just so funny. Also, since we're on speeches, can we talk about Tom and Julia's speech? Because that pissed me off.
I was so mad. I can't even imagine watching the Tonys and someone goes up and they're like, oh, we didn't think we were going to win. We left our speech at home. Ha ha ha. I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Thank you. And then they leave. Yeah.
You can think of a single person to thank, not a single person, not your son.
You know, not like, you know, Kyle. Which is a whole other thing. You know, the kid that you were going to give credit to and all that kind of stuff. No, no, not Kyle. Okay. Got it. Thanks. Let's move on to our Marilyns. Karen Cartwright, everyone's favorite. Catherine McPhee.
So I feel kind of bad because most of my opinion of Karen was just my annoyance with actual Catherine McPhee. Mm-hmm. But Karen's just, I mean, Ivy called her out on it too. And it's true. She saw everything in such a black and white and like always tried to play like, oh, I'm just like the good girl from Ohio or wherever she was from. But like she would still do stuff that was kind of shady. So I'm like, you can't have it both ways. Like either own up to it and like be the shady bitch or like don't. But don't pretend like you're not also doing stuff that's kind of like questionable.
Yes.
Like you knew what you were doing when you went over to that director's went over to Derek's house in the first episode. Like even though she didn't sleep with him, like, come on, girl, you can't be that stupid and naive. And then like also be still playing a victim.
Yeah. Also, the way she sort of interacted in Hit List with her roommate. I can't think of her roommate's character.
Jessica.
Yeah, I was over that one, too. I just didn't like her character.
Boring. Let's talk about Ivy.
Ivy Lynn, played by Megan Hilty.
Oh, Ivy is such a hot mess. But I liked Ivy. The only thing that bugged me was her ending. Like, so she's pregnant at the end, and she's going to keep it. And I'm just like, the whole two seasons is about how Ivy wants to, like, make it. And she was in Heaven on Earth. And she was, like, in the ensemble of Heaven on Earth forever. And this is finally her shot. And, you know, she finally gets this lead performance, and she's been living in her mom's shadow, and she finally gets it, and she makes it, and she's like, oh, I'm pregnant with someone who I'm not even dating, I'm just casually having sex with, who also recently has been having charges and questionable talks about, you know, sexually harassing women. And at the end, you see them together and, like, holding each other, and, like, she's gonna have the baby, and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Why? Why?
Yeah. I love Ivy because I feel like she's so relatable, because she struggles the whole time. I think, honestly, that episode where she gets drunk before Heaven on Earth, that just made, like, honestly, it made me love her. Like, that sounds so bad, but, like, she has these vulnerable moments, and Megan Hilty does such a good job of really playing into those vulnerable moments and sort of almost playing a victim, because she is a victim a lot of the time.
Like, her flaws and mistakes felt more real than, like, like, you know, we talked about Julia and her 8 million mistakes. Like, those felt like, how do you make so many big ones and fuck up? Like, Ivy's felt more like, yeah, I can understand where that came from.
Agreed. So the next person on our list is, again, the only person that I would put up there with Tom being, like, the character I like the whole time is Eileen Rand, played by Angelica Houston. I love her. I think there's only one time in the season I got mad at her, in the show, that I got mad at her. I can't think of when it is off the top of my head. Like, it's that irrelevant because I just love her.
Yeah, I loved her. I loved how her story ended. She was one of the only ones who I thought got a real good ending. I loved her with, I don't remember his name, but the guy that, the bar owning guy, like, they were so cute together. Like, I love the running gag of her throwing drinks into Jerry's face. That I think was my favorite part of the show, was just that running, that, because it kept happening to so many times. Like, I loved it. Like, she definitely, I think, got the best ending and the best story for sure.
Agreed. I think one of my favorite moments is in season one, when she's always like, I know a bar we can go to, and she takes all these big people to this, like, little dinky bar, and it's so cool to be able to have this character who's, like, a huge person on Broadway and super rich, has all this money, and she's like, I'm gonna go down to this dive bar, and I loved it. I love her a lot. Okay, are you ready to, like, bitch a little more? Jimmy Collins, played by Jeremy Jordan. He's frustrating.
Jeremy Jordan's really good at playing characters that I really hate. Like, I think the first couple things I saw him, so the very first thing I watched Jeremy Jordan in was The Last 5 Years. And I mean, he's the worst. Mm-hmm. And then in this, he's the worst. And I'm like, oh, Jeremy Jordan. I'm actually happy this wasn't as bad as The Last 5 Years is. Not bad, like, the show's good, but, like, as bad as his character is in that, I'm glad that wasn't the first thing I saw him, or that was and this wasn't, because I hated him so much. He was the worst. He just, like, he felt like things were owed to him. And I'm like, that's not how this works. Like, yeah, I get that you don't want to play the game of, like, having to listen to Derek and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, dude, you act like you... Stop. Just, especially because you're not writing this on your own. Like, you have a partner. Like, it'd be different if it was him by himself. But it's like, you're not only screwing yourself over, you're screwing your partner over. And, like, Jeremy Jordan, your character was the worst, but you're so good.
I think that was a lot of my issue, or he has a lot of the similar issues that Julia has in season two, where he's just, they're both just consistently messing with their creative partnership. And I think that's what made me mostly mad about Jeremy Jordan, like, or his character, not him as a person, but he was messing up Kyle so much. And then sort of him being given this opportunity to work with somebody big like Derek Wills, and then just throwing it away every chance he got, made me so mad. So since we're talking about Jimmy Collins, let's go to Kyle Bishop, played by Andy Mantis. I like Kyle a lot. You're rolling your eyes, but
it's not Kyle. I don't like what they did with his storyline. I felt like that was something they tried to shove in. It didn't make sense. Like, not that I'm saying people don't get hit by cars, but, like, it just, it didn't, I felt like they needed, like, something to happen, and they're like, okay, what can we do? Like, what can we have as a big thing? Oh, let's kill someone off. Who can we kill off that people won't, like, someone that's small enough that people won't, it won't, like, totally affect the show, but, like, big enough that it'll matter. Like, can't do Jimmy, because, like, him and Karen have this romantic thing, but oh, we can just kind of kill off Kyle, why not? And it's just such a minor thing, but why would you cross the street living in New York and not look? Like, also, I'm just like, ugh, so just, it just felt like such a cop-out of a storyline. Like, it's not, like, I liked Kyle, I did, like, he had no problems, but he also just was kind of bland.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of his character was taking care of Jimmy.
When
you have a friend like Jimmy, I feel like that's what your friendship is going to be. But yeah, no, I think we mentioned this before. I think that a lot of the end of season two, as we sort of get near the end, because that happened about halfway, past the halfway point of season two, they just sort of are like, what can we do? What do we need to put here? And that's what it felt like. However, I will say that I cried with everybody's reactions. I cried the following episodes. Basically, they'd be like Kyle, and I'd be like, in tears. I was just really emotional.
It just felt like they also just kind of kept throwing back, like they were adding in things we didn't see just to, like, make stuff. So they'd be like, I know that Kyle and Christian Borle's character, Tom, I know Kyle and Tom, like, had, like, one time they slept together, but all of a sudden, like, after they killed off Kyle, it was like, oh no, they actually were, like, sleeping together multiple times and, like, working on their shows and kind of inspired each other. And I'm like, oh.
That felt really dirty to do after he died. I did not like that.
Yeah, I think that's why it was just like, this felt so unnecessary. And like, oh, look at all these great ideas that Kyle actually had. And it was like, it felt gross. The other couple of characters, we didn't talk about them, but just their character arcs aren't big enough. But like you had mentioned, Brian Darcy James plays Julia's husband at the beginning.
I'm sorry, I don't like him.
I mean, he was fine, like, the first couple episodes, but, Leslie Odom Jr., which I loved having him in it. Like, I don't think I knew he was in it until I watched it and was like, oh, he just has such a pretty smile. So I just want Leslie Odom Jr. in more things.
Mm-hmm. The other person, first of all, Raza Joffrey? Jaffrey? I really hope I pronounced that right. I probably didn't. Played Dev, Karen's boyfriend in season one. Hated him. Did not like him. He didn't get it. That's all I have to say about him.
I really, really wanted. So there was like a whole thing in season one where like it was up in the air whether him and the girl he was working with were like a thing or if they were just friends. And I really, really, really wanted it to turn out that they were literally just friends and that Karen was overreacting. But it's stupid TV. So of course they had to like make them have be a thing. And I was like, because I thought that would have been great. Like, because that's such a, it's such a trope. It's still a trope of like, boys and girls can't be friends. They have to have romantic interest in each other. And so it would have been nice to just kind of have that be like, no, Karen's literally just overreacting.
The only other like main character that we haven't talked about is I hate so much, but Ellis Boyd, played by Jamie Sapero. Ooh.
I feel so bad for this actor because I feel almost like if you watch, so if you ever watched Game of Thrones, there's a character on there that like, people hate it so much that, like, I think the actor got just, like, black backlash because people are stupid and can't distinguish the difference between an actor and a character. And it was almost like that. Like, every single thing Ellis did, like, it was almost comical in a way, too, because it just felt so unrealistic. Like, it just almost felt like a comic book villain of just, like, twirling his mustache of, like, ho, 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 what can I do now to ruin this show? I don't understand. Like, I'm guessing that his character was supposed to be, like, really trying to make it as a producer. How can I get in? Oh, let me work for these people. Let me kind of try to force my way into Eileen. Oh, Eileen's not going to let me be a co-producer. Well, let me go to her ex-husband. That's kind of what it was supposed to be, but it was just so stupid. Mm-hmm. God, I hated him so much.
Yes. No, I'm really glad he's one of the characters I'm really happy didn't return in season two. He was like in one little bit, but like he didn't really... He wasn't really in there.
Yeah, because I looked on his International Movie Database thing, and I was like, oh, he comes back for season two. That'll be interesting. And when it was like that one little second, I was like, oh, okay, good. We don't have to like deal with him coming in at the end and being like, actually, this entire show was because of me. I'm like, dude, you don't get to like throw like a one-off thing and be like, nope, I actually made this entire thing. Like, Sarah, calm down.
So one thing with Smash that I really love, not only were that the main characters, oh, the only other main character we didn't talk about, and I wouldn't necessarily call her main, more supporting, but is Jessica. Or not Jessica, I'm sorry. Anna, played by Krista Rodriguez. I kind of mentioned her with Karen. She's not really a main character. I don't really have many opinions on her. I think what they did with her with the diva was fucked up, but
I think it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you're supposed to hate her, but at the same time you're like, I mean, can you blame her? Like, Derek's a sleazebag. You kind of have to do what you can. Like, is it not like he hadn't already, like, harassed her before? And she, like, went, like, she already went through this whole thing. Derek kind of deserved it for being so stupid and being like, I've already harassed this woman. She's already named me. Let me see what I can do to help her, you idiot. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point she had, like, also called out Karen about, like, the same thing I had said, too, about, like, you can't have it both ways. And she kind of mentioned it again, like, you know, I did what I could. And it's like, I mean, it's not a great way, and I guess we're, like, supposed to hate her, but I'm like, I mean, you do you, girl, like.
True. So, yeah, one thing that I love about this show is that not only were the main characters, a lot of them were Broadway actors, but a lot of the guest stars, they got so many good guest stars that were also Broadway actors. I mean, like, even they had special guest stars that they, people like Nick Jonas was in it, Bernadette Peters, Uma Thurman, and Jennifer Hudson, Sean Hayes. Those were, like, all the guest stars. They had, like, good chunks on the show. I love J-Hud. The duet she does with Karen on Broadway. Love that duet. That was really good. But then they even just, like, series regulars, like Anne Harada, who was the original Christmas Eve in Avenue Q. Annalia Ashford comes up. Wesley Taylor, who plays one of the chorus members in Bombshell. Will Chase, who played Michael Swift. Like, the list goes on and on. Jesse L. Martin, Daphne Rubin-Vega, Nikki Blonsky was in it for a little bit. Like, all these people. And then they have, like, all these small roles that people came in. Like, Ryan Tedder was in it, like, the singer-songwriter, the guy who won One Republic.
Oh, Hamilton, other person. Why can't I think of her name? Eliza.
Oh, Philippa Sue was in it.
Thank you, yeah. I was like...
And as I'm looking at this list, there's even people that I didn't know. I mean, Harvey Fierstein I knew about, but where was it? Scott Whitman, one of the composers, is in it. Mark Shaiman is in it. Tom Kitt's also in it.
Hmm.
Like, what? Bernie Telsey, which we know because they have a whole audition scene with Megan Hilty's character. Seth Rudetsky, Liza Minnelli, I totally forgot about.
Oh, yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Lindsay Mendez, Mary Testa, Cheyenne Jackson, like, all these big people. Like, I could continue to list people, but I won't. But my favorite is by far Lindsay Mendez, because we get to hear her sing, and I love her, and it's my favorite. That's all I really have to say about that.
I mean, mine's not going to be a surprise. Mine's Lin, but also not just because of my natural love for him, but I also just, obviously, I don't know him personally, but he always seems like such a genuine, nice person. He was kind of a dick in this, which I kind of liked.
I will say, Lin's is my favorite, my second favorite, next to Lindsay.
Like, it's just funny of him being like, oh, like, my show's so good, and I didn't get to see yours because it, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I just love this. Like, I love the sass that we don't usually get to see.
And then the shade thrown at him by Tom.
Yeah.
I was like as he walks away, he's like, oh, I hate him. It just kills me every time. Also, my other favorite thing, because it was super big at the time, is them mentioning him tweeting. Love that. Thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a show about musical theater, so we're going to have some songs in it. So I want to talk about the songs really fast. What were some of your favorites?
Yeah, there's a ton of songs. Really, though, there was really only two that I really, really liked. I mean, there was other ones, like, I added more to my list originally when I was listening to it. But there's two that I'm like, yeah, I consistently think these are actually good songs and they're fun. Let Me Be Your Star, which is, like the song of the show. And then I also really liked History Made at Night, which is the song that Marilyn and I can't remember. I know it's Michael Swift's character or Michael Swift, but I can't remember who. character playing character. I can't remember which Marilyn husband he's playing. But
DiMaggio?
Yes. No. Thank you. Yeah. DiMaggio. I just really like it. These were also the two I think that were played the most. So that's probably why. Because we heard History Made at Night so many times that it was like, Yeah, I like those ones. So those are my two that I really liked.
I definitely agree with Let Me Be Your Star. I love that song so much. The other one that I really like is The National Pastime. I actually have that one saved already.
I also, yeah, that's a good one. The only part I hate is the stupid, like, Cracker Jacks. Pack. I'm like, oh. Like, if you just cut that one part of the song out, it'd be so much better. I do like the 20th Century Fox Mambo one. That one's pretty good, too.
I was going to say that one. Cut Print Moving On is okay. But I really like Secondhand White Baby Grand. That moment in the show is really good in Bombshell. Not only do we have these songs from Bombshell, but we also get songs from Hit List. And we'll get into which one we prefer. But the songs from Hit List, I'm not a big fan of. They have one. I think it's Rewrite This Story that I like, kind of. And Broadway Here I Come is okay. I think Broadway Here I Come from the Tony performance that they do is better, which I know you were not a fan of. You're like, everyone just knows that this is happening.
Yeah, because they have, like, it's not even, like, them singing. It's, like, they have, like, a whole choreographed, like, dance number that, like, Derek threw together at the last minute. And that was a whole nother plot point that, yeah, like, didn't make sense of, like, I even at one point when I was texting Berkeley about when we were watching it, because we watched it super recently, I was like, so are the diva and Jerry sleeping together? Because, like, Jerry's like, fine, you can have a solo. And then she was, at later on when Derek's like, actually, we're not doing this, the diva's like, well, we'll just see what Jerry says about it. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening.
Like, I thought that was so weird when she was like, well, we'll just see what Jerry says about this. Homie, you're literally going on in 30 seconds to perform, yeah, at the Tonys.
I mean, I'm assuming, like, there had to have been something that they cut, because I'm like, and I mean, Jerry was always with younger girls, and, like, I guess that would make sense, but I was just like, what? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
The other thing that I thought was really weird with this show is that, and it's so funny because it's a very musical theater thing, but when they broke out into pop songs, just randomly, like, there was that one where, I think the one where Kyle gets hit by the car and everyone's just randomly singing, or like the opening to the Tony episode. And I'm like, why? But then they had moments like on Broadway where they're at, where there's like a piano and they're at a performance, or there's another one where they go do karaoke. And I think Catherine McPhee sings Redneck Woman, and that makes sense. But
it felt like it almost got the Glee treatment, as far as, like, I don't know if it's just because the songs weren't as good, like, the second half, or, but it just got to a point where it was like, I get it. You have all these actors who have beautiful voices who are all Broadway people and you want to use it. But it was like, I just started fast forwarding. I was like, I can't. And it's like, I know that sounds so awful to be like, musical theater person, but I don't want to listen to their singing. But it was just like, it wasn't doing anything for the story. Like you, yeah, said, like, it was just kind of like they were just breaking out in a song, and it wasn't further in the story. The songs weren't that interesting. So I was just like, okay.
It did feel, like you said, like the Glee treatment too, in that, like, maybe it told the story, like, in the first line of the first verse and then nothing else related.
Yeah, it was like songs just to have songs. And it was, yeah, like,
I was over it. I don't think this would be any surprise, but, like, which show do you prefer?
Heaven on Earth.
I actually prefer Liaisons.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the name of the other one. I mean, I would have totally actually probably loved to see that, because it just seems so ridiculous. And what's his name? Sean Hayes? That's his name, right? Yeah. He's just, I never watched Will and Grace, but every time I see him, he just seems like such a fun time. So.
He does.
I'm like, I bet it would have been, like, ridiculous. I mean, honestly, neither of these shows would be something that I would really want to go see. Because I don't really care that much about Marilyn Monroe. Like, I know who she is, but it's not someone who interests me. And Hit List just...
Yeah.
I don't understand the point of what Hit List was supposed to be. Like, yeah. I don't really understand the story. Like, they're supposed to be... And maybe that's just part of the problem, was that it just didn't get enough time. Whereas, like, Marilyn's really fleshed out. Plus, everyone already kind of knows who Marilyn Monroe is. But I feel like Hit List was supposed to be, like, there's a guy and a girl... But she, like, steals his songs or something. But yeah. She's a separate singer from the diva. Is the diva, yeah, like a mentor?
I think the diva's like a shadow self. I feel like they never really explained what Hit List was about. And I never really made that connection until you just said that. And I think that's why I never really liked it. I just never knew what it was about. And I didn't understand how any of the songs connected to what was happening in the story. And it felt like just they were just staging a lot of numbers in a music video type of way.
Yeah, like, I felt like with season one, like, you really knew what Bombshell was about. Like, almost, yeah, to the point where, like, I could probably tell you, like, part by part by part, like, with, yeah, the songs, like, where the story is. But, yeah, I don't know what Hit List was supposed to be about. I'm still so confused. And so I think it made it hard to kind of like follow along on the songs. And it was just, I mean, I'm actually surprised I didn't like Hitlist, because usually I like more rocky sounding musicals like mm-hmm. Spring Awakening and American Idiot's okay, or like Next to Normal. Like, I usually like that kind of sound. But I mean, if I had to go see one, like, I probably would end up just going and seeing Bombshell. But really, neither of these are shows that I would go see.
No, I agree. I feel like both of them would be like one of those, okay, I subscribe to a season package, or yeah. like I have a friend who wants to go see it, so I'll go see it with a friend. Even, okay, back to Hitlist for 2 seconds. Even like the production stuff that they did, I was not into it. Like, I get it. We're trying to do cutting edge theater, and I'm here for it. I fully support cutting edge theater. But I'm also, I don't think I've really mentioned this on this podcast, but the type of theater I like is more minimalistic. I don't like big flashy things too much. But I feel like Hitlist did that a lot. And then the whole addition, and I think it's cool that they did it because it was Kyle's idea, but the whole addition of like the text during the show once they hit Broadway, I thought it was a cool idea and an interesting way to engage people. But like, could you imagine if they did that in an actual theater?
I feel like, and this is one of the things where it's like, I feel like this show, and I mean this show as far as like Hitlist, is one that would have done really well if it hadn't moved to Broadway. Like, not every show needs to be on Broadway. And I'm not saying yes. it just because I don't like it, but also, like, the idea of the cell phones thing, like, that tiny theater that they were playing in beforehand, that would have totally worked in that venue that they were in before. But, yeah. like, moving it to an actual Broadway theater, which is huge, you know how irritating that would be? You know, like, I already hate when people, like, have their phones out or have things that are distracting. Like, I would be so... You know how expensive Broadway is? And then have people on their goddamn cell phones? You know, also, there's an entire Wikipedia page about Hitlist.
There's also one for Bombshell. I just looked it up.
So weird.
I think that's a good point. First of all, Broadway is not the end-all be-all, and I think a lot of people think it is. It's not. But I think also these two shows are written for two very separate things. Bombshell was clearly written for Broadway. You watch it and you're like, this is a Broadway show. You watch Hitlist. Hitlist is not meant for Broadway. It's not. It's just not. I guess it's time to get to the most important question. And I'm sure you can already guess our answers. But who is Marilyn? Who is your Marilyn?
Uma Thurman's character. Definitely.
I really wanted Ann Harada to come in, the stage manager, to be Marilyn.
I mean, I liked when Tom was helping do things and he was singing parts of it, so Tom.
What about Julia's daughter? Not Julia's daughter, but Julia's son would be good as Marilyn. But Angelica Houston's daughter. I want her.
We didn't even talk about her. Her character's pointless, but
yeah, also, yeah, true.
Pointless to talk about, but also just literally was a pointless plot. Pointless. But Dad, you can't do this to Mom. When you hurt Mom, you hurt me. Oh my God.
Literally the whole time. Child baiting.
I think it's hard too, because it's like Ivy's blonde, so she has the, but I feel like her body was similar, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
she had the look. I never understood the difference. Like, they were both great. Like, they both did really well. Like, I'm not saying like, oh, like Karen was awful at acting. Like, they were both really good. But like, the whole thing was Derek's like, I can see her as Marilyn. I can't do a British accent, so
I can see her as Marilyn. Yeah, that's not his accent.
And like, I don't know. I guess that was a whole plot point that was annoying too, is like, he's dating Ivy, but not that I'm saying like that should have been a deciding factor, but it was all a mess. But I mean, I think Ivy deserved it in the end. And I don't like how it came up, how she finally got it. Like, and we'd already kind of talked about her struggles, but like, you know, it was like, oh, she's going to be Marilyn. Just kidding. No, she's not. Oh, she only gets it because Karen dropped out. Like, and Uma Thurman's character left. I don't remember exactly how that ended. It just felt like, poor Ivy. At least she won the Tony.
Yeah. I hate the idea that Ivy should be Marilyn because she's put in all this time and effort. I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't hate it.
No, I know what you mean. Like, that yeah. shouldn't be the necessary. Like, I felt like the show, of course, obviously wanted us to root for her. And I think yeah. that's, I definitely fell for it. But then again, I just liked her more. So I think that was, you know, I was just like, well, of course you want Ivy to do it. She's been struggling on ensemble forever, but.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think they definitely play that up in the show, and they make you want her to be Marilyn, and that, and they play off that frustration that you have when she's not Marilyn. But yeah, no, I definitely choose Ivy all the way. I think I don't have a reason. I liked Ivy more than Karen as Marilyn. Oh my God, I just remembered the nude scene.
Yeah, that was a whole choice too. Like,
that was a choice. They made some choices in season two.
I don't understand. Like, do they forewarn people about that? Like, not that that's bad, but like, I don't know. You don't really see nudity on this. Like, I'm trying to think of like.
You don't really see nudity. The last Broadway show I saw nudity.
Especially because Marilyn's such a like. I mean, I guess her story is kind of dark-ish, but imagine taking your like, I don't know, like 11 or 12 year old child.
Yeah, I think that like they have to advertise it, because I feel like people would see a musical about Marilyn, they need to go. They need to take it, like they would assume that it's okay for everybody to go, especially a Broadway musical. Now, if it were a little more underground, like off Broadway, okay, maybe don't take your kids, but no, take them. Speaking of it being a Broadway musical, it's actually in the works to become a Broadway musical.
Yeah, I totally forgot. Like, I mean, I remembered it. I thought about it earlier, and then. Yeah. Which was super recent, within like the last couple months or so, right? That they announced this.
I mean, it's been okay. So here's what it says.
But it's about Smash, right? Like the musical. It's not.
No, they're doing Bombshell.
Oh, I thought they were like doing like the idea of Smash as in. Wow, that's
from what I understand. Yeah. So they did in 2014. They actually did a benefit concert. I'm sorry, 2015 they did it. Oh, they streamed it in May. This past May, all the funds went to the Actors Fund. But then they also mention an original Broadway production. June 2015, following the sold-out performance at the Mitzkoff Theater, it was announced that Bombshell would head to the Broadway stage. No timeline has been announced. As of 2017, it's still in development, they said.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, I mean, I definitely remember when I was watching this, I was like, wow, they literally have an entire musical here. Like, they pretty much have the story. I mean, obviously, they'd probably have to work on the book because that's never really been clear. But, like, they have all the songs and everything. They have, like, a list of it. Like, it's not a jukebox musical, because it's not, like, based off the artist where they're, like, playing their songs. Like, they're writing songs for her, which is kind of cool. Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. They literally... Okay. So, I'm just browsing the Wikipedia page as we do this. They have, like, a full list of songs. And they also have a full list of cast and characters. Nat King Cole, Leslie Odom Jr. did it when they did the concert. Lee Strasberg, JFK, Arthur Miller, Joe DiMaggio, and then Marilyn.
Yeah, so that's going to be the question. Is
Ivy going to come out and do
Marilyn? I can't
think
of her real name.
Oh, Megan Hilty.
Like, yeah, thank you. I'm totally like, is Megan Hilty going to be on Broadway playing Marilyn?
I support it. I want it. Although I see it not happening. But I want it.
Oh, that was a song that I did like that I didn't put in. Was the random number. I think it was in Act 2 when Sam came back from Book of Mormon. And they were trying to, like, put a number in so that he could come back on. And I can't remember what it was supposed to be. It was, like, some random one-off number. And they play it, like, at a party. I don't remember what it was. If I can find it, I'll put it on our list for Twitter. But it was, like, a weird... But then it didn't work in the story, so they couldn't have... poor Sam come back. But it was like a really fun one, and I was like, ooh, this is cool. Just anything with Leslie Odom Jr.'s. They did the same thing that Glee did, and it's so minor, but I have to ask what the real question is. They did it with a couple shows, but they have this whole thing where they have posters of shows that are up, but then those actors play different characters in the show. And I know they did it with Bonnie and Clyde. They had a Bonnie and Clyde poster up in season one, and Jeremy Jordan's in Bonnie and Clyde. And they did it with something that Christian Borle was in, but I can't remember what. And I just want to know, who was playing these? It's not as bad as the Glee one. The Glee one's real bad. That one actually bugs me.
Yes.
But I'm like, who played Clyde in Bonnie and Clyde?
Yeah.
It was not Jeremy Jordan.
Oh, that's a good point.
Tweet at us.
Yeah,
Instagram us. Who do you think it would be?
Because Glee did the same thing with Idina Menzel.
They did it with Wicked, and it was so... But they, like, dragged... I hated that.
That one was bad. Yeah. So, give us your opinions. Give us your thoughts on this show. Who played Clyde? Who played Clyde? Where can they send their thoughts?
Right. So, you can email us at MTBC Podcast for Musical Theater Book Club Podcast. You can tweet us at MTBC Podcast. Or you can, send us a message on Instagram or TikTok. Same name, MTBC Podcast. Let us know who was playing Clyde or what your thoughts are on Smash. If you agree with us, disagree. Who was your favorite guest star? What are your favorite songs?
And if you have an idea for the name of these, because clearly this was not a mini. So maybe we shouldn't call these minis and something else. So give us your ideas. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, send to your friends, send to your enemies. And go check out Smash. It's a good watch. Waste a couple days. Bye. Thank you.